You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Hulk Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome one and all to Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of professional wrestling news, commentary, promos, and overall good times. It's been a weird week in wrestling, and we're here to make sense of it all, or at least try to anyway. Right. My name is Aljon Goh, lifelong wrestling fan and professional radio personality, if you want to call me that, you can do that, yep. And podcaster, oh, yeah. Joined by the Wrestling Mark himself, Dr. Death Mark. He is the wrestling historian, and he's also a wrestling heel of heels, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you this week, sir?
I've been really good. I should have wrote Stan Hansen Mark, because that's who I'm the ultimate mark for. That's the ultimate heel.
It changes every week. So it's like I'm Dr. Death this week, Nick Bockwinkle a few months ago, and this week you are, and no, it's fine, because
it ain't your Stinger the Dudleys, how about that? So,
yeah, right, yeah, we're gonna talk more about how the WWE is managing to take a, you know, how the TNA invasion is going in WWE. Let's talk about that, shall we?
Sure.
The TNA invasion of WWE, right?
Better than the other invasion.
You see, I set them up and you bowl them down. That's how it works here on this show.
PJ Black. PJ Black's driving the Hummer. I mean, what are they doing over there?
I don't know. Before we get into the wrestling news, big controversies this week, as well as our also controversial promo of the week. Oh my God, craziness. Let's first of all talk about ProWrestlingCast.com. You know, our website is up, and we have so many great affiliates on our website. If you love pro wrestling the way we love pro wrestling, which is why you're listening to this show, which is live and uncensored, by the way, you know, so this is really intended for, you know, mature audiences. Let's
probably so, yeah,
at least this week. So that's your warning, your final warning for this week. Be sure that you visit ProWrestlingCast.com, because we have an awesome website, because we love wrestling. Amazon has been a great affiliate of ours. If you shop Amazon every day, what you might want to do is bookmark our Amazon link at ProWrestlingCast.com, because then you can buy all the things you ever want and need. We're recording this on Friday. This is Force Friday. So if you're a big Star Wars fan, you can get hooked up with all kinds of great stuff and memorabilia for the brand new movie that's coming out, Force Awakens, this December. The other thing you might want to do too is also check out our independent wrestling. We love independent wrestling. You might want to check out our links to High Spots, shoot videos, wrestling DVDs, memorabilia, and so much more at High Spots. And we appreciate them partnering with Pro Wrestling Cast. And last but not least, WWE. We are very proud to be an affiliate of the WWE. We are both subscribers to the WWE Network. And right now, you can try a month of the WWE Network for free. If you click on our link to the WWE Network and you've got a free month trial, check it out. It's worth the $9.99 you're going to spend every month.
It really is. It's on.
Yeah, because let's break this down, because I had purchased one or two pay-per-views every year. It was, you know, either it was probably Royal Rumble and WrestleMania every year. And then, you know, I would do, you know, all the other types of, you know, I watch all the other programs and things of that nature. And it can add up. It was $59.99. every pay-per-view that you purchased. Right. Now you can get every pay-per-view, including the Royal Rumble, including WrestleMania and SummerSlam and Survivor Series, for just $9.99 a month. So it's an incredible value. We're going to talk about some of the programs you can get off that, but it definitely is something. If you're a wrestling fan, if you're a fan of old school wrestling, because they have a tremendous library of great WCCW, WCW, ECW in there as well. You don't want to miss out on a single moment. Please check out the WWE Network and our other affiliate, WWEshop.com. You know, they've got the Labor Day weekend sale going on right now, and you can save big by clicking on our link and making sure that we get credit. Every time you click the link for WWE, High Spots, Amazon, we get a little kickback from what you purchase, and it doesn't cost you any more. It just means that you are telling the wrestling websites that you like our show and our podcast. So thank you so much, and we appreciate you pressing play and subscribing to our show on iTunes. So now it's time for This Week in Wrestling News.
This Week in Wrestling News.
It's a big week of wrestling controversy. So let's go ahead and talk first about some wrestling controversy. Shall we just go ahead and kick off with the biggest story this week, and probably one that we all saw if you follow wrestling for as long as we have over the course of 30-40 years? What would you say about this whole Jimmy Snuka situation, Mr. Stephen Anthony?
My opinions about this matter are very personal, because for a long time now I've known about this. I read a book by Irv Mushnick about, I guess it came out 8 or 9 years ago, I'm not sure. It was called Wrestling Babylon, that talked everything about basically what's in this indictment of Jimmy Snuka now. And you can also get it, I think it's an ebook, or so it's called Chris and Nancy, The True Story of the Benoit. Oh, wait, I'm saying the wrong one. Which one is it called? I can't believe him.
He's got his library right in front of him.
Yeah. Anyway, I read it in Wrestling Babylon, and it turned it into an article, you know, about in 2013, on the 30-year anniversary of the death of Nancy. This is a different Nancy. This is Nancy Argentinio. And basically, when I first read it, I was shocked, you know, the allegations against him that he had, you know, caused her death were kind of swept away pretty quickly.
Let me go ahead and read this. This comes to us from Jason Powell's ProWrestling.net. WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Snuka has been charged with third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter for the death of his girlfriend, then Nancy Argentinio, in 1983. Snuka was arrested on Tuesday morning at his home and released on $100,000 bail. The case was reopened by Jim Martin last year and turned over to a grand jury. And there's more on this at McCall.com.
Right.
Now, Jason Powell has put a little comment here. Snuka was working for then WWF at the time, attended a television taping in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and claimed that he returned to his hotel and found Argentinio grasping for air. She died the next day of traumatic brain injuries and suffered more than 24 cuts. Snuka told the responding police officer that he shoved Argentinio earlier that day, then changed his story.
Right.
Snuka has continued to deny any wrongdoing over the years. Now, in the book Wrestling Babylon, it does have a very detailed look at this particular incident and the players involved in this. And this, of course, has been published, as you say, by the authors.
By the way, the Kindle is called Justice Denied, The Untold Story of Nancy Argentinio's Death in Jimmy Superfly Snuka's Hotel Room. Mm-hmm. Kind of a mouthful, but that's the same almost exact article that was in Wrestling Babylon, which is a pretty small book. It talks about the Von Erichs and some other really weird stuff, too. You know, but essentially, Jimmy Snuka was a huge star in 1980. Just look at it from this perspective. Jimmy Snuka is the biggest star in the world in 1983. In 1986, he doesn't even work for them. You know, Hulk Hogan is ushered in with Piper, with Oakland. All these things happen. We've talked about it more recently. Why is Snuka just, what happened there? To me, from reading all the allegations against him, you know, he had a history of two things, and both things are really bad. This is all allegedly, by the way, but this is things I'm basing from reading from Irv Mushnick, who did a very comprehensive and detailed bit of investigative journalism into this situation. You know, and you can say what you want, but you know, he's the one that did the legwork. From what I can tell, Jimmy Snuka had a very, very bad cocaine problem. And a lot of people have said that. That's the allegation, to the point where he was almost out of control. The other thing that a lot of people allegedly have said or have said, and the allegation toward him, is that he pushed a lot of women, and that kind of his thing was supposedly to push women against a wall. Okay. So what you have there is a recipe for disaster. So what he initially said was they had a fight in the hotel room and pushed her against a wall, and he came back. They woke up the next day. She wasn't feeling well. He left for some TV tapings in White Plains. And when he came back, she was dead. And then there's a few 3 or 4 hour gap between that. And when the police got there, Mr. Fuji was there, which sounds kind of funny at first, but it's actually not funny, because what Mr. Fuji allegedly used to do is fix problems. Kind of like, as weird as this sounds, like the wolf in Pulp Fiction.
That's right.
That's what Mr. Fuji would do with people got OD'd with drugs. He'd get rid of the drugs, supposedly, and do things like that. So there he was, and he told the police when they immediately got there, I pushed her, she hit her head. When they did the autopsy, the forensics, whatever you call it, they said there's a lot of bruises and things like that, and this woman was obviously beaten. And a certain Vince McMahon enters into the fray. So after Snook has given his story, he essentially changes it around a little bit to saying that she peed on the roadside wrong or something and fell and hit her head. And they said, you know, in the coroner's report, is like there's no gravel. There would be some sort of particle. You know, there's nothing that would suggest that. Yet the Allentown police just kind of let it go. There wasn't even that much media attention. Now, people in New York, the Village Voice, you know, who I think Mushnick was involved with, you know, people knew about it. People were talking about it in the area in New York. But other than that, it was kept closed to the public. And if you notice, right after that, believe it or not, months later, he did the jump off of the top of the cage against Morocco. This actually happened before that. The finish of that match is Morocco wins. Iron Sheik beats Bob Backlund. Hulk Hogan wins the world title. And Snook is kind of gone. So that changed the course of history. So this poor woman, they say she's 23. I'd read she was 20. Maybe I'm wrong. This woman just kind of, her death just goes on. It was never dealt with properly.
Mm-hmm.
And from his article and the 30-year anniversary, they put the article in the local paper again, that they reopened the case and decided to indict him 32 years later. It's pretty amazing that they waited that long to do it, but they did. Because I think there was such a substantial amount of evidence to put this guy in jail back then. He'd been arrested by the police for beating women. They had arrested him already for beating women on cocaine. He'd been arrested in Turkey, smuggling drugs into the country. He had done all kind of stuff. He was a nut.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little bit more as the plot thickens,
mm-hmm.
because there is the future of wrestling,
right,
to think about. You know, the career of this fabled Hall of Famer, of course, the career which was shrouded in much controversy already, kind of loomed over him like a black cloud. This is stuff that I even knew about, but didn't really know all the particulars up until really this week, because I never really bothered to look into it. But here you go. How does that work with Tamina Snuka, okay, being on the current roster? Because there's a lot of speculation as to how she will be treated and touted after this indictment. What have you heard, if any, Stephen, from
she will no longer have the name Snuka.
Yeah, she still has it posted on her social media, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, then they'll let her go if she continues to do that. If she's going to fight this, they're going to back away. Let me tell you something. This is what's really weird about this to me. It made me think that the wrestling industry is a little evil.
Okay.
I think a lot of the wrestlers, whenever I've seen, it's very far and few between wrestlers that brought it up. I remember an interviewer brought it up to Honky Tonk Man and Raven in a weird kind of shoot. And they both were like, I don't think Jimmy do that. You know, the wrestlers just kind of like made it a secret too, it seemed like. But now that it's out, you know, these people don't want to see people murdered. They want the business to thrive. And I think Vince thought, I have to cover this up and I got to create a new main eventer, and I need to get fucking rid of this guy. And I think that's what happened. And he just thought like a businessman. I'm sure he didn't want to see Nancy Argentino die, but he knew that if they said main eventer WWF at the time murders women, you got a problem. And I think they'll do anything they can to get away from this situation now, because Vince was involved in this situation. He was the one talking to the police and the investigators, and probably the guy. Snuka writes in this book, he had a briefcase. Who knows why he put that in his recent autobiography, other than maybe to make us think like he paid him off. I don't know why he would do that.
Well, Tamina is still using her name and last name on social media, and as posted on the Inquisitor website, of course, Vince McMahon, the man who helped launch the careers of hundreds of wrestling legends, taking them to the national stage, especially in the 1980s, had a long-running relationship with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And there was a little bit of the article that was posted in there. Of course, you know, we had talked about the fact that Snuka was recently diagnosed with stomach cancer, which he, by the way, coincidentally, was ushered away, I believe, in a wheelchair.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, when he was, you know, because of the fact that he is he does have stomach cancer. So it says in this article on the Inquisitor that right away, it's important to note that Vince McMahon was in no way involved in the alleged murder, nor has anyone ever suspected him of being a central player in the crime itself. But because of information revealed in the Morning Call report, he's likely to have questions thrown his way over the next few days concerning the investigation. That's because the case went cold June 1st of 1983. In a follow-up interview in which Vince McMahon was present. There also seems to be an item from the Pro Wrestling Torch, quoted, as taken from the Snuka autobiography and court documents. So here's a quote, if I can get this to work properly. Snuka and WWE had Vince McMahon met with District Attorney Platt, then an assistant DA, Robert Sternberg, Dr. McCallis, and Whitehall police detectives for a follow-up interview about the events surrounding Nancy's death. McMahon, who Snuka noted in his recent autobiography, brought a briefcase to him in the meeting that you said, and did all the talking, according to Steinberg. I remember Vince McMahon, quote, I remember Vince McMahon being what Vince McMahon has always been, very effusive, said Steinberg. He was very protective, a showman. He was a mouthpiece trying to direct the conversation. Quote, Steinberg noted he couldn't recall the specifics of the conversation. There's no record of the content of the conversation. Snuka had said in his book that he doesn't remember much of the conversation, and Platt said he is not permitted to discuss this matter. So the article continues to say, needless to say, we expect Vince McMahon to be getting a few questions on this in the immediate future, particularly questions about the briefcase and the 1983 sit-down with prosecutors. It could be said in the chairman's best interest to address the situation head-on, since tweets like this one are already making the rounds. And this is a tweet that they quoted from at JackJorgensen14. Yes, if people don't know the story about Jimmy Snuka and the murder and Vince McMahon showing up to the police station with money, Google it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, by the way, when you brought up he had stomach cancer a couple of weeks ago on the show, if you listen back, I go, well, there's some things that might be coming up, but I won't talk about it till something happens. This is what I was talking about. I didn't think he's going to get indicted, though. So, I think Vince has, I mean, I don't think Vince won't be involved in anything. Let's just stay away from it. But, I mean, the whole briefcase thing, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Jimmy Snuka. So Platt says he saw the briefcase, too?
I'm having a trouble scrolling down on this article because it's this website is not.
The briefcase thing seems to be just a symbol of the idea that Vince paid off the police.
Yes, but why would he even mention that in his biography?
Because he's stupid.
That is just a crazy, crazy thing. Plus, it's also a matter of public record now. So
the basket case, he's, as Vince once said, he was interviewed on. I was listening to Mushnick got interviewed by Meltzer and Alvarez, and they brought up an interview that he did with Larry King in the mid-80s. They said, why don't we see Jimmy Snuka anymore, Vince? And he goes, he's a basket case. That's all he had to say. He's like, he's a basket case. Do you remember he brought him back, though? You remember that?
Yes.
89 or 90, he put over The Undertaker, one of those first WrestleMania. I think it was first WrestleMania Undertaker win was over Snuka. To have him be a legend, but you know, he was damaged goods at that point.
Oh,
you
totally.
Know, feuding with Talk Man at house shows, and you know.
And then, of course, you know, well, I think Vince just wanted to give him a payday.
I think Vince just wanted to use him to get over people. I don't think Vince wanted to help him out. I don't think Vince likes the guy very much for doing that. I mean, look, he got. I don't think Vince likes dudes that kill women, honestly. Allegedly.
All right. Well, it is. We did cite these sources here. I mean, it's,
these are other people talking. I don't know any. I don't know shit.
It has been around for many, many years, and the scuttlebutt continues. The controversy continues. Yeah. I just, it's a shame.
Sad.
That what has gone on with the victim's family, regardless of the circumstances. The other thing that's also bad is for, you know, the families of the victim, the family that Jimmy Snuka has, of course, Tamina Snuka, quite quite on the roll right now and in living the push that she has needed in her career for the years that she's been in WWE. She's never been put in a situation like this before in terms of her push. And now to have this controversy resurface is not so good. And also quite, you know, and also taking consideration that at WrestleMania, you know, during the Legends for the wrestler, that they did trot out Jimmy Snuka, and they have trotted him out on occasion as a legend.
Well, nobody thought he'd get indicted again.
By this time. You know,
I think she's going to defend her father no matter what, and she will never believe he did this. You know, that's what any daughter would do, but I don't know. It doesn't look real good from the paper. So, you know, she might end up, maybe she'll end up leaving, or maybe she'll stay. I don't really know. You know, there's a lot of weird things that happen. You know, Blackjack Mulligan is being preemptively sued by the WWE so he doesn't sue them for the concussion, same sort of stuff. And he's in bad shape. You know, he's in extremely bad shape. And I'm just between me and you, Al John, I'm really disappointed in them for, I understand why their lawyers did that to preemptively sue. But I mean, this man's on his deathbed. And, you know, that's Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt's grandfather. So people work within the system, you know, with things going on. They love being wrestlers, and there's really only one place to be a wrestler, unless you're the Young Bucks and you do your own thing and you can make money in Japan and be awesome in the Bullet Club. But, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of options for Tamina Snuka. Tamina Snuka's not going to New Japan. She's probably wouldn't do well at Ring of Honor. And Christ, TNA, what is that?
Right.
And then Lucha Underground, still nothing. So you got to stay with them. So maybe she'll stay, but I thought they were for sure. They told her to take the name down.
According to the Twitter, it's still there.
You're looking at her Twitter. Okay.
I'm looking at her Twitter right now.
Well, if you're looking at her Twitter, then you're looking at her Twitter.
It says, and I will read this off right now. Hold on a second, because this is real interesting. So it says, Tamina Snuka, verified Twitter account, @ Tamina Snuka. I am WWE Diva Tamina, the dangerous daughter of WWE Hall of Famer Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Oh, great. Well,
that's exactly what it says on her Twitter profile.
And it's got verified. A check mark by it,
Yes, it's blue check mark verified. That's what it says on her Twitter, which I would have already edited. And if I was WWE, I would already edit that already.
Well, they scrubbed him from like Hogan, he's off the Hall of Fame thing, just like Hogan. They give him the Hogan treatment. But to be honest, just between me and you, if you're a filthy racist saying racist shit, you're still not quite as bad as if you allegedly might have sort of killed a girl, maybe.
Well, having said that, I am looking right now at her WWE bio, and it doesn't mention anything about her last name being Snuka.
Okay, well, she needs to take that shit off of Twitter. They're going to fire her. I don't need a dirt sheet to tell me that.
Yeah, it doesn't even mention... You know, it says, first aligning herself with Jimmy and Jey Uso, she made a literal splash, making her debut in the WWE of May 2010. Then she led a top rope assault on the first family of sports entertainment, the Hart Dynasty.
And that's all that's ever happened involving her.
Yeah.
No mention of
her. To be reckoned with, of course. No mention of her. Of her lineage.
You know, when Mick Foley would, and just like when Mick Foley, went to see Snuka dive off the cage, man, and it was so, I was just always like, what's up with that? I know he knows.
Well, the thing is that her Twitter is tied into the WWE page, and it does say @ Tamina Snuka. Every post that she has says Tamina Snuka in it.
I don't know, man.
It'll be interesting to see.
By the way.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know if they'll actually indict him, I don't know if they'll actually get it. Because it's the same evidence they had, and it's 32 years later. And you have to prove the fact, like, why didn't you throw him in jail 32 years ago? So... Those cops made it hard for anything to happen, but I think that family just wanted people to know, hey, this happened to my sister. They won a civil suit in 85, by the way. They won a $5 million judgment. Snuka was out of money already.
Mm-hmm.
You know damn well where that money went.
Yeah.
It wasn't popsicles and lollipops.
Well, speaking of controversies, as the show continues, this has probably been the darkest moment of our show's history.
The lollipop thing?
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about
Chris Benoit's best matches.
Let's do that. Best of 7 with Booker T. Let's talk about this right here. Hulk Hogan has been on a little bit of a press tour trying to clean up his image.
What a great idea.
What a great idea, Mr. Hogan, Mr. Bollea, to go ahead and clean up his image. This is a PR move. He has been very vocal on social media, Twitter and Facebook, and, you know, the interesting things continued. So here we go. This is comments in audio from the interview he did with ABC News.
Stop for a second.
Terry Bollea, the man behind the once indestructible Hulkster, letting his guard down.
Out of everything that I've been through, this one hit me probably the hardest.
Wiped from the WWE Hall of Fame last month after portions of his conversation during a secretly recorded private encounter were leaked by the National Enquirer. On it, Bollea caught using racial slurs.
I was at the lowest point of my life, to the point where I wanted to kill myself.
You were suicidal.
Yes, I was. And I was very mad at my daughter for really no reason. I was upset over a situation that happened between her and her boyfriend, and I had no idea I was being taped.
On the tape, he refers to his daughter's then boyfriend using the N-word.
Are you a racist?
No, I'm not. I'm not a racist. I never should have said what I said. It was wrong. I'm embarrassed by it. But a lot of people need to realize that you inherit things from your environment. And where I grew up was South Tampa, and it was a really rough neighborhood, very low income. And all my friends, we greeted each other saying that word. The word was just thrown around like it was nothing.
Is it fair to say that you inherited a racial bias?
I would say that is very fair. The atmosphere, the environment I grew up in, all my white friends, all my black friends, to hear the word on a daily basis when they'd greet me in the morning. That's what they'd say to me. Good morning, so-and-so. I think that was part of the culture and the environment I grew up in.
For fans who feel let down by you, do you ask their forgiveness?
Oh my gosh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm a nice guy. It's not, you know, not the Hulk Hogan that rips his shirt off and bang, 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 slams giants. You know, I'm Terry Bollea. I'm just a normal man.
But the WWE, not taking the risk, fired him.
Everything I've done, my whole career, my whole life, was like it never happened.
Your image, your likeness, your name erased.
Yeah, like I'd never existed.
That had to hurt.
Oh my gosh, it was devastating.
Many industry bigwigs now coming to his defense, and his daughter, Brooke.
Your daughter posted a beautiful poem on Facebook. If you knew the dad I knew, you'd know he raised me well. He taught me folks are so much more than shades could ever tell.
Yeah, and if anybody should have disowned me, it should have been her. You know, she should have been the one. She should have been the one to throw me out like the trash, but instead she showed me more love than anybody.
What did Brooke say to you?
Well, can we stop for a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay.
How has Brooke helped you through this?
She's been so supportive. She was the direction of my attack. You know, I was not so mad at her boyfriend. I was mad at her, you know. And she instantly said, I don't even need to forgive you because I'm not mad at you.
Now the man known for his superhuman strength is wrestling with turning this negative into a positive.
Okay, so, oh man, that comes
from his environment. That's a shame.
That is a.
Do you know the name of the town I'm from?
You're from Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Well, I was born in Thibodaux, but I was raised right outside of Thibodaux. Do you know the name of that town?
I do not.
Raceland, Louisiana. Look it up.
Okay.
Okay.
I shall look it up.
Oh, you're really looking it up? That was kind of a line. But yeah, go ahead. I was born in Thibodaux General Medical Center. I was raised in Raceland, Louisiana. We say Raceland real quick because we'll go at the end of things.
All right. Yes, it's part of the Houma Bayou Kane Thibodaux metropolitan area.
Yes, very metropolitan there.
It's down south of Louisiana, folks.
It's really far down. It's off Louisiana Highway 1 off of Bayou Lafourche. Last branch of the Mississippi River before goes to the Gulf of Mexico. Actually seen the gate where the Gulf of Mexico is. It's a place called Grand Isle, which is an hour and a half down from Raceland. And you see, Raceland, being a product of your environment and all that, there were people that I grew up with. See, but I grew up in the 80s, not the 50s and 60s like he probably did. There were people in my environment that use language like that. They use the N-word and they were fucking racists. And if he's going to say some bullshit that was a product of his environment to hang out with black people in the 50s and 60s and call each other the N-word, I think he's a little confused, because that's what happened in the 80s and 90s. That didn't happen until then. So, that really angers me that he used that.
So Hulk Hogan, FYI, was Terry Bollea, born August 11th of 1953 and currently age 62. Born in Tampa, Florida. Yes.
So in 1968 and 70, black people and white people were calling each other the N-word with an A. Is that what I'm supposed to believe? That's not true.
That is what you're supposed to believe.
No, it's not true.
In life, according to Terry Bollea.
Well, you know, he takes lies and truths and kind of, he is honestly one of the greatest workers ever. You know, hearing him cry, talking about his daughter, and please forgive me. I'll forgive you if you come to me with truth and you repent. And you admit your lies. This guy makes me upset.
You know, it's interesting. You know, he was actually rather born in Augusta, Georgia. When it comes
that
to
is your problem. Sorry,
when it comes,
I'm so
when
sorry.
It comes to the Hulkster, I want to believe. You know, I come from a different place. You know, I am Asian. Okay, Asian American,
right?
And a Pacific Islander, whatever you want to say, it doesn't offend me as long as you don't call me, you know, whatever. But what I will simply say is that I want to believe that Hulk Hogan is sincere, because I was a fan of Hulk Hogan's growing up. I don't want to believe that someone like him would be thinking that he's a racist, because he has worked with African-American talent in the past, you know, and in some of his biggest WCW storylines, he's worked with Carl Malone and Dennis Rodman. You know, why would he, being a racist, even want to work with that type of talent? Because he loves money more than his personal beliefs?
Yes.
That's the only thing I could think.
No, that's what it is, I think.
You know, why would he have gone out of his way to say to the latest, in the latest season of Tough Enough, to Patrick, pull him aside and give him pointers as to how he can become better as a WWE superstar? Why would he even do that? You know,
because he's a good worker.
You know,
I don't know. He's weird.
It's just a strange situation. I don't know. But anyway,
he's got to let this go. He's got to. Why is he on TV crying and all this? My beautiful daughter wrote a poem. I don't want to hear the poem. I want you to say, listen, I've been a racist from Augusta, Georgia for most of my life because I was brought up as a racist. But I looked inside of my heart for the truth inside of myself and who I am. And I ask you truly for forgiveness. That's what I want to hear. But if you say, you know, me and the homies used to, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't believe it. If you start lying, you know, I was angry at him and then he lied more. He just keeps lying and lying. It's all these lies. He's just lying all the time. It makes me upset. Stop lying. I don't know if he's a racist or not, but he sure sounds like one.
Well, switching gears now to
that's what they sound like. Let me quote Chris Rock. They said, do you think the guy who's Kramer? Michael Richards.
Uh-huh.
They said, do you think he's a racist? He's like, yeah. What does he have to do? Kill Medgar Evers? He's a racist. You can't say you can't call an African American person the N-word. That's just what's going on.
So we have
Hogan.
So we have just a really quick, you know, WWE Raw.
What is that?
I don't know what it is, to be honest. It doesn't exist anymore because we erased Hulk Hogan from history. So it's kind of like Back to the Future, right?
Yeah,
you
know, dude.
You erase Hulk Hogan from history and then the dominoes start to fall.
He got to erase Jimmy Snuka, then he got to erase Hulk Hogan. And Randy Savage, you got to erase him too because he wasn't nice to you. Then you got to erase Ultimate Warrior because he sued you and actually won. Everything gets erased. But then, okay, well, we can let Warrior back. And, you know, it's just the game, man. Anyway, Raw.
Yeah, so, you know, let's talk about this real quick. So okay. Sting comes out and is trying to set up Sting versus Rollins for Night of Champions, which is going to happen. Fan community, as I said, still clamoring and asking. IWC is asking if Sting has a chance. Could this be an opportunity for Sting to win the elusive title? Now, here's the interesting thing. As the IWC thinks this, and wrestling pundits like the Powells, Meltzers, you know, those people in the world are saying, no way, Sting's not interested in the title, this, that, and the other. It makes me almost think that WWE is going to give him the title, a real shot at the title, And he might actually become champion.
Right.
Because they're going to do whatever the IWC is opposite thinking. You know, and if you have pundits like the Meltzers and the Jason Powells and people like that, that are simply going to, you know, say no, you know, he's not interested in it. Wouldn't that be the swerve that the WWE might actually take? And also, how bad was Sting's promo? You know, Sting for me, Sting to me has always been great in short chunks. Now in WCW, he definitely wasn't a big talker, which led to a great gimmick of the Crow because it was always silent and deadly. However, you know, and brooding. But in TNA, he actually did have some interesting promos. Not necessarily the most engaging, in my opinion, but he did have a fire. You know, he is, you know, for all intents and purposes, a DVD, made-for-DVD movie actor, after all. You know, so it's interesting that he would make this promo and put over Triple H, who, by the way, screwed him at WrestleMania, really bad, and then continue to sing his praises this time, which I didn't believe, and then also try to incite Seth Rollins, and the fact that this had gone on, and I believe it to be Sting trying to play mind games to start the dissension in the ranks of the authority. I just don't think it was pulled off quite as gracefully as it could have. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
I think they're trying to set up Triple H versus Seth Rollins with Seth Rollins as a babyface.
Yes.
And Sting's just kind of a cog in the wheel. You know, he's just a gear.
Mm-hmm.
If he won the title... I mean, look, we're getting dangerously close to the idea of Sheamus winning the title here. Because if you have Rollins and Triple H, you got to put the belt on somebody to be Triple H's champion for them to feud, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna have to put it on Sheamus. But let me tell you why Sting won't win the title for more than a minute or two. Let's say he won it and I went, oh my God, I got swerved. And then Sheamus would cash it in. That's the only way it could possibly happen. I don't even think that'll happen. But let me tell you why Sting will not win the title. Because the IWC is kind of young. You know, they don't remember Sting matches like you and I do. We actually watched them.
Oh, loved it. Yeah.
Sting's not a really great wrestler. I don't know if they know that.
Yeah, but I love Sting matches because when you talk about the five moves of doom, now that was a wrestler that really did have five moves of doom.
Sure.
But he had everything, you know, he knew how to sell. He had the facial expressions. He knew crowd psychology. And he may not have been, you know, the worker that John Cena is because let's face the facts. John Cena is a tremendous worker.
Sure.
You know, in my opinion.
Another great worker, he's phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. They make great music. And Sting can be the same thing because you look at a tremendous worker, which is Ric Flair, Vader. They really help make Sting and Cactus Jack. So really, you know, Sting is best with a great dance partner. And
I've been making sweeping statements tonight so far, you know, kind of taking some chances on the show.
Yes.
I'm going to take one right now.
Mm.
The match will bomb. The match will not be as good as people think. And let me tell you one more thing. And this is kind of what I'm getting to, bro. Hey, I sound like Ventruso.
Okay.
Brother, because let me tell you.
Yeah, let's just. Everything I'm going to say at the highest pitch of my voice to get over what I'm trying to say to you, brother.
Yeah. I heard him on the Ric Flair podcast. He won't shut up. He's just like, they're just sitting there like, That was the first Ric Flair podcast I didn't like. This was the same with Russo. Anyway. On a third trajectory, but to come back to the point, because I'm good at that, even though I'm crazy.
We were talking
about the G1 final, Shinsuke Nakamura, Tanahashi.
Yes.
Possibly the best match I've ever seen. Possibly. I don't know if it is, but boy, it blew my mind.
Yes.
Tanahashi, best hair, we were saying last week on the show, right?
Absolutely best hair.
His hair didn't fucking budge for 30 minutes. It's perfect. Succinct.
Nice.
Sting remains adamant to have this shit haircut, and I've had it. He needs to spray in his bald spot with black paint and spray cans and oils, and I don't know. But you're not going to be a world champion with fucking hair like that. Sorry.
He just needs to wear a headpiece like Finn Balor.
That's not a bad idea. Anything. Anything.
Did I say Finn's name right? It's Finn Balor. I'm sorry. I know. Look at me. I mispronounce shit all the time. I'm like Taz with a Taz podcast. You know, I'm just mispronouncing shit.
Well, my ultimate embarrassment is when I called Nakamura Nakamaki once.
Oh, that happened on this show.
I listened back to it and I was going to call you and say, can we
edit that?
I'm going to sound like a jackass.
No. So, well, it'll be interesting to see. If you're playing the Pro Wrestling Cast drinking game and you hear me say cool or that will be interesting, you're probably drunk by now.
Or you know from me.
I've done that as well.
My beautiful wife Terry passing in the background.
Yeah.
She forgot that I'm on a camera.
That's all right. So once again, I'm not really sure where they're going to go. Yes, it looks like the whole Sheamus thing is going to happen. And they, maybe it will lead to a Shield reunion of sorts. I don't know. Raw has been very interesting, to say the least, in regards to, and I'll tell you what I did not like in Raw.
What's that?
I did not like Dolph Ziggler and Lana Rusev Summer. Now, in this, there had been unless you've been under a rock, this angle was basically about Summer trying to seduce Dolph Ziggler to cheat on Lana, or imply that he cheated on her by Summer sneaking into the dressing room, catching Dolph Ziggler with his pants down, and then telling the world how much she enjoyed Dolph Ziggler naked and having Lana play the jealous girlfriend, which was horrendous. This was up to Becky Lynch proportions of shittiness.
Al Wilson, perhaps.
Al Wilson. Well, no, Al Wilson was at least funny.
And he was actor at the very least.
Well, Al Wilson also had a half naked Tori Wilson, so that was good. Maybe half naked Dawn Marie at the time, not PG era. That was pretty good. But then you look at this PG era. There were parents leaving in the midst of this because it's supposed to be good, wholesome family entertainment, as Vince McMahon has been known to say. And then to have this with really crappy angle for me, just it does not work for me. And I shudder to think that with all the stuff going on in this quote unquote diva revolution, pushing strong females and breaking stereotypes, that they would have this shitty angle. Kevin Dunn, Vince McMahon, what the hell? Well, because I know what they're doing. This, by the way, is the whole thing I told you about last week, which nobody on the internet has picked up on, is the fact that they are reenacting, that stupid ass movie, Rock of Ages. This is exactly what it is, by the way.
Is that the movie you told me to watch?
That is the movie I told you to watch, because Julianne Hough's character and the rocker that she fell in love with basically thought that, she cheated on him, and that's not really the case. And they tried to clean it up PG-wise, but this is exactly what it is. They stole the gimmick from Rock of Ages. Yes.
Well, what happens next then? Because you would... Using your theory, what would happen next then in the storyline for WWE?
What would happen next is that, but that basically they would go their separate ways until she finds evidence to the contrary that Dolph Ziggler did not do anything wrong.
Okay.
And they would get back together and everything would be fine in the world. But it doesn't go without, they have to go under some kind of hardship. And, Dolph is probably going to get the crap beat out of him at every end in order to gain sympathy. And Lana's going to say, oh, I can't believe this. I'm going to still be mad at you because you did this to me. You hurt me with Summer Rae. And then someone's going to say, hey, by the way, did you see this clip? It's like, Dolph didn't do this to you. Maybe Renee Young will be the one that says, hey, by the way, this is the footage. Did you not see the footage? Why are you giving Dolph a bad time? Because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly how it would play out if this were to happen. Or some other diva like Natty Neidhart, because she's not doing anything right now, would come by and say, hey, by the way, this is the footage.
Interesting.
So maybe that happens. Or maybe Lana befriends somebody and they try to entrap Dolph Ziggler, and they find out that he's really a man of upstanding character.
Well, that
wins back her heart, which by the way, I am available if WWE wants me to write for them, because I can take any type of movie, let's say 16 Years a Slave, and we'll just go ahead and put a bunch of WWE superstars in it and make a dramatic piece for TV if you want to do that.
Is 16 years of, now I'm going to sound dumb again, but is that a movie about
slavery? That's like an award-winning movie about slavery.
I don't think I would do that on the wrestling show. Then.
That's exactly what I'm saying, right? I've said this in the
that's
the
poor.
Whole, yes, it's a whole controversial episode, as I'm saying. So
wow, okay, wow. Yeah. So that won awards then?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Why am I so disconnected from the outside world? Oh,
that's because we just watched WWE Network. That's what it is.
That probably is what it is.
All I'm saying is that this is exactly from Rock of Ages.
And how
this is going to play out is horrible. I just hope that Lana and Ziggler don't start singing ballads to each other, because it could possibly be that way because of CJ Perry, a.k.a. Lana's penchant for singing. So... here we go. The next thing that I will say I did not like is the beat the clock scenario.
Boo. Gave him no time at all.
Yeah, it didn't give him any time. It was a cat and mouse kind of situation. At the end of the day, this is not what fans are looking for. They want really fierce one-on-one action. Yes, and I appreciate the fact that they're trying to do something with a beat the clock challenge for the women for the first time ever, but it didn't do them any justice. You're not winning anybody over by showing them in a diminished capacity. How much can they possibly show you in a minute and a half or 2 minutes? How much could they possibly, you know, win people over? You say that these women are the most technically gifted superior athletes that have ever come out of the Divas division, but yet you don't give them an opportunity to shine in real competition and make it matter. So once again, my whole thoughts stand true for the next week. You know, they're doing themselves a disservice, whereas in NXT they're doing just fine. So
yeah, I noticed the same exact issue. You know, the matches were 3 minutes, a minute and a half, a minute and a half. You know, if you add it all up, it wasn't even like the 14 or 15 minutes they've been getting on the shows lately.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
They were worried to have three Divas matches, which just shows they're not ready for this. They probably have been nervous about some of the negative energy that they're getting back from the group. I just don't understand why it's so hard to go from NXT to the main show. It's not like it's they're not. The Ascension with a shit gimmick.
Well, it's not. It's not hard to book them. Why don't you just book them in a tournament? If you book them in a tournament, you can spread out the matches, showcase the women and what they have, make it matter, and spread it out for a course of several weeks so that Nikki Bella can, you know, exceed the timestamp so she becomes the longest reigning Divas Championship. It's not that difficult. In fact, I set out that scenario when they first debuted. Why don't they have different combinations of these women in one-on-one competition so that people get to know who they are, what their movesets are, they're able to associate with them, cheer and boo the appropriate diva, and build a story that way. Instead of now, what they're doing is just having clusterfuck after clusterfuck that is pissing off the fans that have followed these divas and invested time in these divas in NXT. They want to root for them to win. They want them to get over, but the WWE is not doing that, not doing them justice. Horrible.
It's pretty awful. You got to see Sasha Banks almost tap out in 2 minutes or whatever. I mean, that's not gonna help anybody. It's weird because it looks like they're positioning Charlotte to. It feels like they're positioning Charlotte to win the belt.
Doesn't make any sense, but you know why?
Why?
Because she doesn't have the skills and the mic skills and the personality that a Sasha Banks has. She should be the champion. She has the entire package. Sasha Banks can work it. She has the look. She has the X factor personality. She can work the microphone like no other, and she's not given that opportunity. You know,
maybe they don't understand that it's her, you know, maybe they don't understand that it's her that's made all these matches so great, because she's the X factor in all these matches mm-hmm. that we saw in NXT that blew our minds mm-hmm. like this last one. I mean, you know, do you see Bayley having 4.5-star matches every week? I mean, don't you think that Sasha, who did it with, you know, Ashley Flair and all these other people?
Well, that's not what I'm arguing, or, you know, what I maintain is the fact that she is the better of the other divas at this time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know, not the fact that the other girls can work, and I'm sure with the other combinations they can work pretty well, provided it's, you know, among yeah. themselves from NXT ilk, you know. I just believe that Sasha is more ready than the others that have come up. I think she's more ready than Paige, and that's going to piss a lot of people off when I say that. But
no, she's a lot better than Paige.
You know,
Paige isn't going to get any further than she's already gotten. Paige, to me, thinks she's there, but she's not even close. She's just not there.
Well, no, she's a great worker. I just believe that
once a great worker, don't become the champ.
Well, the character of Sasha Banks, I think, is much more fully formed than the character of Paige, which for me, the character of Paige is a haircut and a dress. You know, she can be intimidating and stuff, but you know, it started to get really good with AJ Lee. There was some development there, but right now she doesn't have that development in character. I'm looking for that development in character. Give me a reason to like you. And I say that about all the WWE superstars. You know, why do people root for you? You know, make us care. It's not about, to me, it's not about work rate. That is a benefit. Give me a character that I can invest in, you know? And right now, I'm invested in a Rollins. I'm invested in a Brock Lesnar. I'm invested in a John Cena. Right. I'm invested in a Sasha Banks. You know, I'm actually invested in Team Bad because I actually feel that group of divas actually gels well as a stable.
I do too, but I can't support something called that. That's so stupid to me.
Yeah, it is a stupid name, but that's
okay. We're bad to the bone. Whatever.
Beautiful and dangerous, whatever. But, and, you know, and I like the fact that New Day, I'm invested in New Day. I'm invested in Cesaro. I'm invested in Owens because of their characters, what they are doing, how they're being booked. And by the way, the things I did like about Monday Night Raw is, once again, New Day continues to shine. Cesaro Owens continues to deliver. Those are the things I like. You know, so
New Day's blowing me away right now, honestly.
They're the best thing on TV right now.
They're excellent. They're on every week. They're not like Lesnar and Taker where they are saying where they're off and on and off for Triple H and have a match once a year. They're on every week. They're on SmackDown. They're always funny. They seem like they're permanently doing a trombone now, which is great.
Consistently good.
Let me tell you this, bro. Keep talking like Vince Russo. It's disgusting of me.
I know.
What's wrong with me? Am I going to book a really bad Halloween Havoc now?
You might.
Okay, so Shane Douglas is fighting Tigress.
What? I don't know.
Billy Kidman comes in with a pie.
Thank you, Russo. Does the pie come on a stick?
That's the worst pay-per-view. Halloween Havoc 2000.
That is pretty bad.
It's brutal.
I have seen so much. This is how much of a WCW mark I am. I've watched a lot of those pay-per-views.
Oh, me too.
I was such a huge WCW fan. I did not want that chip. I hated that chip having to go down. But
it was sad because they just sucked for like a year and a half. It wasn't like, you know, they just started sucking in 99, then they sucked all of 2000, and they were gone. They were just gone. I mean, they were still, I mean, Goldberg against Scott Hall, and then, you know, Flair with his son and Hogan still being a heel at the NWO in early 99 was still drawing huge. They would do like I saw a buy rate chart on WCW. That was really interesting. Mm-hmm. But Hogan did draw a lot for them. Mm. Just, I mean, he added so many buys. It was kind of weird. Anyway, how did I get on that tangent?
I don't know, but I will say this.
This is what I wanted to say.
Yes. Bro. All right, bro.
Before I started, Xavier Woods, one day, is going to be fucking huge just on his own. I mean, he's going to be he's got it. He's got everything.
He
and
does.
I've seen him do great singles matches as Consequences Creed. And he's got the promos and he's got the personality. He's got it. I just need to let him do it.
He does have it, and I do agree. Out of the three, he is going to be the breakout star because
big time.
He has such a great personality, and the future is bright for Xavier Woods. I cannot wait. Cannot wait till he's given the opportunity to shine. And that opportunity is going to shine probably within the next 2 years.
Yeah, and they'll have him a heel, like Intercontinental Champion, doing the promos on his own, and then the crowd will just naturally start loving him like we do right now. The whole crowd will. And then
isn't this the way the Nation of Domination kind of got over? Because you think about the Nation, you think about the players involved, you think about what angles they were involved in and how they were able to move from the top. The problem, the difference being is that New Day is a heel faction that people really pop for, you know, because of the way they, you know, I don't know how to describe it, because typically comedy acts are simply dismissed, you know, they can be simply dismissed. You cannot dismiss New Day. You look at Santino Marella as a comedy act, and I like Santino. I think he was brilliant, always brilliant, but didn't necessarily have the skills in the ring, always entertaining on the mic, and people dismissed him. But you knew that whenever Santino was on the mic, that segment was going to be pretty surefire gold, right? Yeah. And it's a shame that he had to retire early. But for these guys, they deliver in the ring. You do not dismiss them. They are funny. They're just naturally funny.
And their synergy is great.
Yes.
And you can tell they hang out.
They take the people for the ride they want to go on. People buy in because they believe it. They believe that they're a bunch of big dorks, and that is the best part about it. As the train nears the station, the show is about ready to be buttoned up. I feel that we have talked a lot this week. It's been a crazy ass week for professional wrestling. We're gonna leave people with a promo of the week and
dark promo of the week.
The dark promo of the week. So keeping. Oh, and by the way, really quick before I do that. A couple things we didn't mention.
Yeah, please.
We need to mention Brock Lesnar for the Madison Square Garden special. We have some things that are going to be that have been announced for the October 3rd Madison Square Garden event. By the way, these Brock-centric events that they're doing, like the Beast in the East show, which was great. This is also a good build-up in making sure that Brock maintains marquee status. I really like where they're going with that. We've got Chris Jericho coming up with Kevin Owens. That is going to be awesome.
Yeah,
dude, this is gonna be like my fucking match, man.
Now you're talking.
That's all you had to say, right?
That's it. I'm watching.
So Jericho Owens, that's gonna be awesome.
Yep.
You have Ziggler versus Rusev. That too, actually, will be very awesome.
Yeah, at a house show.
You've got Orton versus Sheamus Part 7 or I've 8 or 12. I've never seen that before.
But it's actually a good match.
Rollins v Cena for the U.S. Championship.
That's awesome. That's gonna be an awesome
match. To be an awesome match. Brock Lesnar versus Big Show. Now, for those with a very short memory or don't seem to remember, this is not the first time Lesnar versus Big Show happened because last time Lesnar Big Show happened, the ring fucking exploded.
That was a great. And did you hear Big Show talk about how they did that?
I forgot. Please remind me.
What they did is they just blew up a hydraulic, like, under the ring. They blew up, like a hydraulic lift, like,
yeah,
thing.
Like, it was basically like a jack for your car.
Exactly. So they blew it up and they had it on that, and then they detached, and then right at the moment, they just deflated it. So just collapsed. That's how they did it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I just like more like when you're a kid, you're jumping up and down on that. What do they call that?
A trampoline?
No, it's not a trampoline.
A waterbed?
No. An air.
Air mattress?
Right, but it's big.
Oh,
like a house.
Like a bouncy house.
Right. It was like that. So they deflated it. That's really what they did.
Oh, okay. You know? Okay. All right. No, that's cool. I mean, I thought it was a great effect.
Did I describe that perfectly?
Yeah. Sure.
What's the thing where it's a house, but it's
a bouncy. Big? It's a bouncy house. That's what they call it. A little bouncy rubber bouncy house. Yes. Yes.
The next time we come over, could you get one?
Yes. Of course. That is one thing. And the last thing we're going to mention too is superstars need to be afraid for their lives because apparently crazy fans tend to jump over the guard to attack WWE superstars and wrestlers, harkening back to a more Wild West days of Roddy Piper and the Guerreros getting stabbed in different arenas around the world. Yeah. So at the WWE Performance Center over at NXT, someone whips out a gun. Or someone whips out something. There's some type of shooting.
Knife?
There are two things. First of all, Dean Ambrose. Let's talk about that one issue real quick. So there was some weirdness that happened at WWE Performance Center over the week. Do you have that story?
Well, yeah, a guy who had been obsessing over, I don't know what really happened. You know, that's their story. They say he was obsessing over divas. He'd made some weird videos. He really was into AJ. He was into Lita, which really makes no sense. And he came to the performance center a couple of times. They had to call the police. So the police knew about him. They didn't have their bigger security there. He came in. And they thought the officer showed up. So the one officer approached him and the guy, he thought he had a knife. So the officer backed up about 70 feet and shot him once in the stomach, which, I mean, look, let me tell everybody this. You start messing with the police, man. You know, they don't have a lot of options. They might shoot you. And I think that's what happened. They were like, look, this guy's, if you start acting weird and I think you got a knife, I'm going to back up and shoot you. So that's basically all it was.
Crazy.
Typical nutcase, but very weird. You know, they probably all had security now. Now, the Ambrose thing's really interesting. You know, that sounds like then Reigns got hit with the briefcase about a month back.
Yeah, about a month ago, a fan decided to jump the barricade and throw a fake money in the bank at the head of Roman Reigns.
Well,
wasn't hurt, but you know, the fan got ejected. Same goes for this particular fan who decided they wanted to grab Dean Ambrose on the way out of the ring or something like that. And
yeah,
and all of a sudden security was on him like white on rice. So,
well, this has happened for years, you know. It's not as bad as it used to be. They at least have more security. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy like that name that's right below me, Dr. Death, or mm-hmm. You know, you try to jump a guy like that in a ring, you might lose your life, you know.
Yeah, well, the boys might come out from the back, you know, like those old ECW shows. You mess with someone in a ring and the locker room is going to empty out and you're going to find yourself in a world of shit.
You got New Jack and the Sandman punching you in the head. You probably got a big problem.
Oh, and what happens? Security will take him backstage, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's going to be a reckoning, and that won't look very good for the person that jumped the rail. So
my favorite fan attack story is Terry Funk. He said he tells it like this. He was doing a match and he's walking back and the crowd was hostile and he feels something go in his neck and he's like, somebody threw a damn dart at my neck, but it kind of hurt. So he's like, he had it in his neck. So he walks into the back and he sees his brother and he says, can you believe this? Meaning like somebody just stuck me with a dart, and his brother turned white and he looked in the mirror and they showed him and it was a butcher knife.
Oh, Christ.
So he thought it was a dart, but it was not. And then he was like, oh, that's not good. So
okay, yeah, kids, don't try this at home, kids.
So you see, things could get worse.
Oh, stuff like that. Oh, you just made me get sick there. That's a crazy-ass story. Speaking of crazy-ass stories, let's button up this show.
Pro Wrestling Dark Cast. Pro Wrestling. Dark shadow on you.
This has been a very dark episode of Pro Wrestling Cast. We do appreciate the like and subscribe. Leave us those 5-star reviews on iTunes. You can also download the show via Stitcher, and we are made possible by our friends at the Weeby Geeks Podcast Network. A lot of great podcasts there, like my two Disney shows, WDW After Dark, which is the adult webcast for adult Disney fans. Also, WDW Tiki Room, which is a pop culture Disney show. And of course, Pro Wrestling Cast. We do appreciate that. And so many other podcasts for you to get involved with and listen in if you love comics in the world of pop culture at weebygeeks.net. So please do that. Check out all those podcasts. And once again, check out all of our great content in terms of old school shows, our archive of shows there at prowrestlingcast.com, and click our banners to Amazon, High Spots, and WWE. We would appreciate that. Doesn't cost you any more. You just help out the show. So to round out the show tonight, as we close the door on yet another episode of Pro Wrestling Cast, for the three count, Dr. Deathmark Stephen Anthony has got our crazy ass promo of the week featuring a loose cannon by the name of Doug Gilbert. Stephen, do you want to set this up for us?
Well, you know, people called Brian Pillman the loose cannon, but Doug Gilbert, brother of Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, was truly an outlaw wrestler. He wrestled in the territories forever. He had a couple of small stints here and there, USWA, Power Pro, which this is from, which didn't really last too long, SMW. He was even at a Royal Rumble one time, which I think they were trying to do some with USWA. He also wrestled as the Dark Patriot. He wrestled as Freddy Krueger over in Japan. He's not very well known, but this promo is kind of starting to get some YouTube traction. And basically, you know, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert had passed away in 1993. This promo's from 99. And Brian Christopher, you know, you guys might remember him from Too Cool. And Brian Christopher was a heel / babyface multi-time champion in that territory in Tennessee for years. And the week before, he had come out and basically cut a promo on Brian Christopher had cut a promo on Doug Gilbert's family. And Doug Gilbert got very upset. And Doug Gilbert cuts the damnedest shoot interview I've ever heard. He was immediately fired. And, you know, you can just feel it after you know what he's going to say. The next few times you watch it or hear it, you can just feel like something, you can feel the intensity building, like, you know, this is going somewhere. And Dave Brown, who interviews him live on Memphis TV, doesn't really know what the hell to do. So here it is. This is Doug Gilbert shooting on Brian Christopher, and I do mean a shoot. This is not a work. He was really let go from the company later on. So here it is. Promo of the week.
Let me tell you one thing, boy. And listen, you do not talk about my family. You do not talk about me. Listen, you want to play that family card? He wants to play the family card. You think he wants to play that card with me? Oh, mate, Brian, that card hurts you so bad. Listen, son, I'm out on the street and people say, Doug Gilbert, why was Brian Christopher dragging them 4 or 5 belts around that little red wagon? Oh, he was so successful here in Memphis. Dougie was so successful. And Brian, it kind of hurts me, you know, Dave, there's things we're not supposed to talk about out here, right?
That's true.
But, you know, like, they told me a few things in the back that I couldn't talk about, but I don't really remember what they was. One of them might have been Brian Chris was a champion around here for so long because his daddy...
Wait.
Because his daddy's Jerry Lawler on the company! I'm sorry, Dave, I know I wasn't supposed to say. But now, listen, let me ask you one thing. For one guy at WMC, you can take the things that happens on this show, Dave, and you can change them a little bit. You can keep things from happening on this show, right or wrong?
Well, I couldn't just keep what happened on the show. It is live, and sometimes we can, sometimes we can't.
Oh, okay now, Dave, but you cannot tell me when Brian Christopher comes out here and he's going to act like me, which that's fine. He can act like me all he wants. I don't care. But when he comes out here and you're going to be disrespectful to my mom or my dad, you know what? That little thing in your ear there, Dave, that them people are talking to you from upstairs, I think maybe you should have said, it's time to go to break. See, I'm not holding any one person responsible for what I'm saying. See, Randy Hills is upstairs with his hand on that little button that could cut me off. See, Randy, if I start saying something again and I shut about you running that road smoking crack.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah, Dave, it is true, and Randy Hills has confessed.
Well, now let me tell you what we can do.
Okay.
You have a point.
Okay, well,
there are certain things we can control. There are certain times we can cut the microphones and go to commercial. And okay. I think now is
okay,
one of those
times. Hold it, Dave. Let me say one more thing. You give everybody else their chance, right?
Watch what you say.
I'll watch what I say now. Now, listen, the first thing. Now, right, hold on one second. Listen, the first thing. Somebody showed me a tape right here. Come out here and went, I'm Doug Gilbert and Jerry Lawler. I'm going to stick my fist in your mouth. Oh, come on, Dave. I ain't that corny. I said, you know I'm Doug Gilbert, and Jerry Lawler, you raped a little 13-year-old
girl. Come on. This is Lawler. We're not going to let him get away with that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, Gilbert got dark.
Oh, my. Welcome to the pro wrestling, the dark cast. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I guess you shouldn't talk about his family. I don't know.
My goodness.
What a talented guy, though. I mean, Wildfire Tommy Rich is literally, if you watch on YouTube, Wildfire Tommy Rich did the first part of the promo as his partner. He's just standing there like, oh, yeah. Shit.
I know.
He's like, I ain't saying anything, man. I can't believe they didn't cut him off.
Neither can I. I mean, that's like rule number one. You say something you're not supposed to say. Guess what? You say, and we're going to a commercial break. Why do you, the interviewer is just as guilty.
How'd they let him go after the crack one? I mean, after you say he smokes crack, I mean, shouldn't you just say, okay, this is scary?
Well, if he's not supposed to say about anything about Brian Christopher, that's when you just say, okay, I'm turning. I'm going to take this mic from you now.
Yeah. If anybody didn't realize, those are Memphis fans, 15 years ago, so they don't really know about, they didn't admit that on the show. That wasn't part of the show. That, I mean, obviously that's his son, but that wasn't part of their show. And it's like, that's why he won those belts, meaning Jerry Lawler was the booker.
Right.
Which is funny too.
Yeah. But anyway,
people smoking crack, jeepers creepers.
I know. Right. Crazy stuff. Crazy ass stuff. And if you like what you heard, make sure you listen to the rest of our show.
This is what Doug Gilbert was trying to say. And it's the whole point of our show. It's a dark, dark world out there.
It is. And on that note, don't forget to tuck your head. For Stephen Anthony, I'm Al John Go. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.